In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I both love this text from John's Gospel and find it hard to relate to. What I both love and find difficult about it is how clear John the Baptist was about who he was not and about who he was, about what his ministry was, what his purpose was. He is very clear that he wasn't the light. He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't Elijah. He wasn't the prophet. So who then was he? He was a witness, and he was a voice telling people to prepare for someone else, someone whose sandal John was not worthy to untie. Not many of us are so sure of who we are called to be. The church puts us through months, if not years, of discernment for our call as priests. And there are times that the church completely misses the obvious signs of a person's call. And even after you're a priest, how you live out that call isn't always so clear. How many people will say the words, "in my previous career," at some point in their life, having discovered that they were on the wrong path and changed course in their lifetime somewhere along the way? People ask me all the time what God wants of them, what they should be doing, how they should use their gifts, spend their time now they're retired, how they should help out in a crisis, respond to a need. People are often not sure what God wants of them. John was not one of these people. He knew, and he didn't wait for anyone else to affirm it. Didn't let anyone put anything on him that wasn't his to do, and would not be sidetracked from his mission. I'm guessing John's certainty came from spending so much time with God before he began his public ministry. We don't hear about it so much in John's gospel, but the other three tell us a little about John's life, living in the desert, eating off the land, wearing what he could make for himself, just him and God working it out. John had lots of time for prayer and conversation, for deep listening, learning to recognize God's voice over his own, being able to distinguish God's will versus his own wants and desires, learning when his ego was getting in the way, when he was being prideful or even fearful. This is really important because it's both easy to talk yourself out of something that scares you, and there are always others who will try to make it all about you. And it's an easy trap to fall into. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? The priests and Levites asked John. Then, when John was ready to make it all about Jesus, about God's son, and not about John and John's way, off he went to do his job, to prepare the way for Jesus, to become a witness for others so that others could see and recognize God in the flesh when they saw Jesus. You have to admire John, a man of deep faith who devoted his whole life to serving God, a man who was single-minded, clear on who he was, what he was called to do, and did it seemingly without hesitation, even though in the end it cost him his life. John was able to commit himself fully. He was all in, gave up what most would consider a normal life to connect with God in a way that enabled him to be absolutely sure of his call and how to go about it. That is someone I can certainly admire, respect, be in awe of even, but not someone I can relate to. But the good news is that we don't have to relate to John the Baptist, because that is not who we are. Just as John was sure who he was not, we too can be sure we are not John. We are uniquely us, with our own gifts, abilities, and calls. It doesn't mean we're off the hook in figuring out what those gifts, abilities, and calls are. It doesn't mean we don't have to spend time with God listening and learning God's will over our own wants, desires, and fears. And it certainly doesn't mean we don't have to be a witness for Jesus and who he is in our lives and in the world. We just don't have to do it John's way. So, what is your way? Have you figured that out yet? If not, it's not too late. That's the great thing about God, right? It is never too late. How might God be asking you to share with others who Jesus is? What is the ministry God is inviting you to? As I said, learning to hear God's voice over your own can be tricky. We have so many fears, wants, desires, things we think we need but really just want. We're busy. We have no quiet time, or maybe we don't have a person to talk with about these things. It certainly can be hard to hear God in all that. Brendan the Navigator, a 6th century Irish monk, before he set off on his most famous voyage from the north coast of Ireland to, as legend has it, what is now called America, spent 40 days in prayer and preparation along with other monks. In a meeting with the monks he most trusted, he said, "My most beloved fellow warriors, I look to you for advice and help. For my heart and all my thoughts are united in a single desire. I have resolved in my heart, if only it be God's will, to seek that promised land of saints, which Barnithus has spoken. How does this seem to you? What advice do you wish to give me?" Those monks agreed that they would follow Brendan in whatever he believed was right. And so Brendan and his monks spent the next 40 days fasting and praying to be sure they were following God's will. Brendan did a few things that we should pay attention to. One, he paid attention to that burning desire in his heart, that thing that just wouldn't let go. Two, he gathered trusted friends to bounce his thoughts off on. Three, he prayed about if this was God's will in his life. Now, I'm not suggesting you need to spend 40 days fasting, but certainly we can use the rest of Brendan's steps as a guide. Pay attention to what keeps coming to your mind, weighing on your heart, or what someone or others, more than one person, keeps inviting you to. Find a person you trust to talk to about this, about what God might be up to with you. And finally, pray about it. Ask God and spend some quiet time listening for that answer, which might come in the form of another's voice. A prayer that might be useful is one by David Cole. It says, "May I know your presence with me as I walk this path of life, and may I know your words spoken in my life by others to help me along this path." And of course, a good way to test if it's God's will or yours is to run things through the filter Bishop Curry reminds us of and recommends to us. Think, If it isn't about love, it isn't about God. And if we're truly honest with ourselves on that one, we can usually figure it out. St. Paul gives us a pretty good idea of what love looks like, right? He tells the Corinthians, and even though you probably heard this at every wedding you ever went to, it really isn't about marriage, although it can be. It's about being in community, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Add to that what we know about Jesus, about God, how they love deeply the poor, the lost, the lonely, the disenfranchised, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, those in prison, and I bet you can find your way. We are not John the Baptist, but we all have a purpose, a ministry in life, to share our experience of Jesus and to be a conduit of God's love in the world. Take time this Advent and discover who God has created you to be and what God is asking of you. Amen.